How many saw The Matrix? But tonight, you pretend I'm Morpheus because I have the truth. And that's what we're going to talk about this evening. And I will draw some analogies to that movie as we go through the evening. I want to speak with you tonight about the meaning of life and why we're here. It's a question that many people wonder about. It's one of those deep philosophical questions that probably every person in this auditorium tonight has at least pondered once or twice, and if not, quite longer than that. I remember when this song first came out by Kansas that the guys sang tonight, Dust in the Wind. And it came out right about the time I began my own soul searching and asking that question, what is the meaning of life and why am I here? I had just gotten out of high school. I was hitchhiking around the country and I was really looking for some sort of significance and meaning and purpose in my life. I don't know about you, but when I got out of school, there was one primary thought running through my mind, and it was this. I do not want to spend the rest of my life like my parents or my aunts and uncles. And basically that life was get a job, come home, kiss the wife, drink a beer, watch TV, go to bed, get up, go to work, come home, drink a beer, kiss the wife, watch TV, go to bed. An endless, meaningless cycle of existence. And along the way, you accumulate a few things, play a little golf, play in your softball league, try to get your youth back, which will never happen. Think about the glory days, which will never happen again, and grow old and die. Now, I don't know about you, but I wanted a lot more out of life than that. This song really made me think, and I want to read the lyrics to you this evening. I closed my eyes only for a moment, but the moment's gone. All my dreams pass before my eyes, a curiosity, dust in the wind. All they are is dust in the wind. I don't know if you realize that or not, but the Bible makes a lot of these statements. The Bible makes it very clear that our life is like a vapor, that we're like the grass. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. Job said his life was like the weaver's shuttle. And in old times, when they would weave cloth, they would have this big loom and they would put this big rod through and it would go back and forth. And a life was just one time through and your life was over. I had a lot of dreams. I don't know about you, but to be honest, I'm really glad none of those dreams came true. Because the last 23 years of my life, I have been living a dream. And I'm going to get into that a little bit with you this evening. Same old song, just a drop of water in an endless sea. All we do crumbles to the ground, though we refuse to see dust in the wind. All we are is dust in the wind. You know, I was sitting downstairs today and I was thinking about this. And I was trying to remember, now what was that big movie that came out in June? What was it? Was it The Matrix? No, it wasn't The Matrix. Oh yeah, that Star Wars movie. I couldn't even remember the name. 4 months ago, all this hoopla made of this great movie, and it's gone. Or have you ever gone to like Blockbuster Video? You're walking up and down like all of us, thinking, oh, what should I get? Oh, that doesn't look good. Oh, that doesn't look good. And then you walk by, and you realize, I forgot all about that movie. I forgot so-and-so was even in that movie. Anybody ever have that happen? Fame is so fleeting. Many of you in this room don't even know who the group Kansas is. And yet they were one of the most extraordinary rock bands of the 70s, maybe of all times. And I was thinking about all the baseball players, you know, and it's hard to even remember that last year Mark McGwire broke the record because Sammy Sosa's hit 60 2 years in a row. Nobody's ever done that before. It's always somebody new comes along and all that we strove for 3 years ago, it's gone now. Or people who live their lives and they've amassed all this wealth and they've built streets, you know, in cities and or, you know, palaces in their name and then they're dead and gone and no one even remembers them. My goodness, the only reason you know the name William Wallace is because of Mel Gibson and Braveheart. 10 years, there'd be a whole crop of kids born that won't know Mel Gibson and won't know Braveheart. And what did his life accomplish? What meaning, purpose did he really have? Same old song. You know, if you listen to music, and I listen to a lot of music. I've been listening to music for, since I can consciously remember. So that's been a long time. Like 35 years that I've been aware of music. And you know what? It's the same old thing over and over again. Guy singing about a girl, girl singing about a guy, got somebody singing about sex. It just goes on and on and on. Once in a while, someone comes up with something creative like, she's an ugly girl. Wow, someone had the courage to say what they really thought. You know? And you get once in a while, you know, you get some tacky song like, don't worry, be happy, boom, boom, dum. You know, it's like, oh, right, don't worry, be happy. If only that could be a reality. But it's not for most people because you know you have so many worries, so many concerns. Don't hang on. Nothing lasts forever but the earth and the sky. It slips away and all your money won't another minute buy. How many wealthy, wealthy people have given all they had to try to buy just a little more time in their life? But Walter Payton, bless his heart, for all of his fame and all of his world record numbers and all of his money, can't buy a liver. And they're not going to bump him ahead on the list just because he played for the Chicago Bears and is all-time leading rusher. He has to wait like everybody else. And life slips away. And all the money that you amassed and all the things you did with your life, what do we have to show for it when we're done? I don't know about you, but, you know, well, actually, you probably don't even think these kind of thoughts yet because you're all so young. But getting old, it really sucks. You know, most of us, to be real honest, we don't like to be around old people. Have you ever gone to the drugstore sometime, just sat and watched all the old people come in? Or go like to Health Partners, you're waiting for your appointment, and notice that just about everybody in there is older than you are, even older than I am. And they're walking along like this, and they can barely move. I saw this dear older couple I was in recently, waiting for an x-ray. And these people had to be between 80 and 90. And she's real thin, and she's got her little bell bottoms on, you know, like some of you are wearing. I'm very serious. And this mod top on, cool, hip, whatever you call it, fat, however you describe it, groovy. It did not fit this little lady, and she's sitting there, and her head shaking, and she's just off in another world. And they called her name, and her husband, and they both helped each other out of the chair, and they're just so frail, and getting old sucks so bad. And you can't do anything to stop it. And then they get you into your life, and you ask yourself, so what did my life matter for? And what worthy thing and what meaning did I discover during my life? Some of you remember Kurt Cobain and all that Kurt had, and now he's dead. Took his own life. Have you ever thought what it would be like to walk into a stadium of 50,000 people and they all scream your name in worship? Hey, don't you realize that's what's going on? The adoration is just extraordinary feeling. It's an unbelievable high. Money, women, drugs, parties, anything they want. I was in Chicago 2 days ago. My meetings were all done and I wasn't feeling that great, so I went back to my room. It was about 8 o'clock and they had cable in the room. And some of you remember Chris Farley. I really like Chris Farley. I would have liked to known him. I would have liked to share with him what I'm going to share with you tonight. I just felt a connection to him. It's just so likable. And Tommy Boy and Black Sheep and Beverly Hills Ninja. You know, you may not like it. That's okay. But I like him. I like him a lot better than Jim Carrey. And I just really like this sense of humor, mostly. And so the whole hour, it was on a cable channel, it was all about his life. And all about the tortured person that he was. You never would have known that. Here's this guy, stands up, makes millions of people laugh. He made $6 million for Tommy Boy. What no one knew is that Chris Farley hated himself. He never felt he could relax around anybody, that no one would ever really love him. Chris Farley had four primary addictions. And yet he went to Catholic Mass religiously every Saturday night. And then Monday through Saturday, he got absolutely drunk out of his mind, used cocaine, was in rehabilitation 4 separate times, totally addicted to food, and what no one wanted to talk about, totally addicted to prostitutes. Completely addicted. Spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on whores and sex. And then he killed himself. And you look at this individual who just has so much going for him. John Belushi was the same way, but you would not remember him like Chris Farley. And he took his life. Why do people do things like that? And why do the rest of us so often struggle with life? If life is so meaningful, where's the meaning? I want to read to you a passage out of the Bible. It's in Ecclesiastes. It says something very similar to what this song said, but I want you to hear it for yourself. And this is what the Bible has to say about life. Life only though in a certain way, and I'll explain in a moment. Everything is meaningless, utterly meaningless. What do people get for all their hard work? Generations come and go, but nothing really changes. The sun rises and sets. It hurries around to rise again. The wind blows south and north, here and there, twisting back and forth, getting nowhere. The rivers run into the sea, but the sea is never full. Then the water returns again to the river and flows again to the sea. Everything is so weary and tiresome. No matter how much we see, we're never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we're never content. Everything is wearisome. No matter how much we see, we're never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we're never content. Let's talk about that a moment. Isn't that really the reality of our lives? If I were to go around this room this evening, and I won't, I would venture $100 or $1,000 bet that every person in this room has something they don't like about their life. It might be the color of your eyes. It might be the shape of your body. It might be your hair or the lack thereof. It might be you don't like your grades. It might be you don't like your roommate. It might be you don't like your parents. It might be you don't like your job. It might be you wish you were out of school. Then you get out of school, you wish you were back. Then you get your job and you're going to find out, wow, there's a really lot of boring, mundane things at my job. Wish I had another one. I know. Maybe when I get married, I'll get married. No, that ain't so great. Kids, I have kids. No, that isn't so great. Vacation. Maybe if I can finally go to Hawaii. No, maybe here, maybe there. You follow what I'm saying? It's an endless cycle. An endless quest to try to find something. When I finally get there, I'll finally have what I want. Then I get there and I don't have what I want. About 9 years ago, I was heavier than I am now, and I had this determination to lose 30 pounds. So I'm working. It took me 9 years, and I'm working on it, changing my habits. But every day, not for 9 years, but over the course of time, I could stand in front of the mirror and grab my gut and go, this really sucks. No matter what I do, no matter how many crunches, 10 minutes of crunchies a day I did for 5 years. Not if you ever tried 10 straight minutes, but you go ahead and try sometime. No matter what I did, I can still grab this and I can still grab my gut and it ain't going to change. You know why? Because I can't get my youth back. I can't get it back. So you decide, well, either I hate myself the rest of my life, get liposuction, which is a joke anyway, or I need to discover contentment. Contentment. The ear never has enough of hearing. The eye never has enough of seeing. You know, it's like a concert. You've been to one, but then you want to go to another. Why do you think we keep buying CDs? Well, because there's something new out there. There's something better out there. And we want to hear more. And we want to hear more. And the ear never has its fill. But you got guys in a society today who are completely addicted to pornography. Why? Because the eye never has enough. I mean, don't you get it? It'll never satisfy you. You'll never get enough of it. You might want to go shop. If I get more clothes, and you shop, you never get enough. And you just go farther and farther in debt. Life has no real value or meaning without God. It is completely empty, filled with heartache, pain, disappointment, and chasing after the wind. Life is meaningless without God. It has no purpose. It will disappoint you. It'll be full of pain and heartache and suffering without God. There is no meaning without God in life. There's no real satisfaction in life apart from God. Things will never fulfill you or make you happy. I was watching an interview with Robin Williams about 3 years ago. And you know, he's a funny guy, very talented, kind of a genuine type person. And the interviewer asked him, Robin, got real quiet, said, Robin, are you happy? Is there anything in life that, you know, I mean, you've got fame, you've got wealth beyond imagination than you ever dreamed. Is there anything you don't have? He got really quiet. He started to cry. And he said, I don't have peace. And I'd give anything to have peace. So would billions of other people. But without God, there can be no love, no hope, no peace, and no real meaning, you see. Only God can fill the emptiness in our life. The Bible tells us in 1 John that God is love. Whoever's born of God possesses love. Whoever's not born of God does not have love. Now, this is the point where I tell you, take the blue pill or the red pill. If you saw The Matrix, you know what I'm talking about. The blue pill, you can just forget about what you hear tonight. You take the red pill, if you want the truth, I'm going to give you the truth this evening. Now I want you to listen very carefully. That movie has unbelievable parallels to the reality of what the Bible teaches. And that is this. Everything you see out there won't last. None of it will. None of it will. It's all a ploy to keep you distracted till you die, so that you are robbed from the greatest privilege of the world, and that is to know God. I want you to imagine for a moment, you like golf. For some of you that's hard. I don't like golf. But I want you to pretend for a moment. And I want you to pretend that all your life, you've actually heard about the game of golf. You've gone out with friends on the green, but no one ever gave you a club or a ball. Instead, all you did was you walked the fairway, you pretended to tee off. You'd heard about people who'd played the game, but you never saw anyone. Imagine how pointless it would be. It's pointless anyway to me. But imagine how pointless it would be without a club and without a ball. And yet for every time the sun's out, every chance you get, you're out there on the golf course pretending you're playing golf. Let me tell you a little secret. Sounds really stupid. If you don't have Christ in your life, that's all your life is. It's one charade. It's one pretend game. You don't know the first thing about meaning or life. You are deceived. You are deluded, just like the Matrix. You might as well be in a computer-generated image, because that's all you have. Life without God is like cotton candy. You bite it and it's gone. No substance to it. No nutritional value. It's empty. It's all it is. Without God. Without God. Now, I can tell you this for two reasons. I can tell you because the Word of God says so. Two, reason and logic are on my side. And three, because I've been on both sides of the fence. I've been where Morpheus was. I used to be in the Matrix. And now I spent the last 23 years of my life going back in, freeing people who have been deceived into believing that that's really life. And it's not. All my relatives, all the cousins that I grew up in, all their lives, they crashed and burned, all of them. And I was headed in the same direction. I was going to crash and burn. All of them grew up, party lifestyle, drinking, sleeping around. And today, I'm about the only one left standing. Their lives are empty. They're old before their time. They go through one dead-end day to the next. No lasting relationship. Just like Chris Farley, couldn't find anybody who would love him. So he bought it. Like lots of other people do in our world. They buy it, but it isn't real. And it doesn't last. And it isn't there to comfort you when you get old and you get sick and you aren't so attractive anymore. Because it's all phony. You see, there's something you need to understand about life, okay? The reason and only reason you could have value is because God gives you value. See, in the society you and I live in, recently I was watching a news story about a guy who paid $50,000 for the first World Series baseball ticket. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a lot better uses for $50,000. Does anybody else here? And that's what I figured. The only reason the ticket was worth $50,000, it was just a scrap piece of paper. It's a piece of antique. It's nothing. It cost less than a penny to make when it was originally made. It's because someone decided it was worth something. Now I want to tell you something. You are worth only what God says you're worth. You know what you're worth to God? You're worth His Son. You have worth and value because God made you and died for you and gives you value. Apart from God, you have no value. You are just a cog in this meaningless wheel that we call life. And you're going to go to college, and you may be in it now. And you're going to graduate, and you're going to do your little job thing, your little career thing. And you're going to find out what I already know. You might as well just trust me. It ain't going to make you happy. And you're going to work like a little dog to get out of debt, just to go in debt again. And you're going to find out that your furniture gets old, and the paint colors, you don't like them anymore. I cut out an article recently, said the number one reason for home improvements is because people got tired of the color. Let me say, probably primarily women got tired of the color. And we fix it up, and then 4 years later, we don't like it anymore. Now, it's really your choice. You can spend the rest of your life like that. You really can. And you know what? You're going to be like the majority of the rest of the world. Empty. Disappointed. You won't have any contentment in your life. And your life won't matter for anything. And you'll never experience real love in your life. Never. You'll never find it without God. And then once you find God, you'll never find it unless you marry someone else who has God. Otherwise, you'll never have it. Never even come close. You'll have an emotion, you'll have a feeling, but you won't have the quality that only God can give. Jesus said in John 10:10, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that you might have life and you might have it abundantly." Let me tell you who the thief is. In the Matrix, it was the machine feeding off the human race. In our planet, it's Satan. It's the devil. It's Lucifer. He's real. He's alive. And he's going to keep you blind as long as he can and suck you dry. And the Bible makes it very clear in Acts that Christ came to destroy the works of Satan. You know how he destroys it? With the truth. He cannot stand the truth. Jesus said the light has come into the world. But men love their darkness rather than light. They won't come into the light or their deeds will be exposed. How? As empty, meaningless. That's what our lives are. But if you have the courage, if you have the courage, if you have the desire to want to come into the light, you can come into the light. And your whole life can change tonight. Your whole life can change tonight. The Bible says in John 6:63, Jesus said, "The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I spoke are spirit and they are life." Jesus said in John chapter 6, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never go thirsty." What was Jesus talking about? He's talking about that inner quality of satisfaction. He's talking about knowing in your soul, "I found the answers. I found my life. I'm not empty anymore. I haven't been empty, and I have not felt empty for 23 years. God has never disappointed me in 23 years. He didn't disappoint me in my marriage. He didn't disappoint me in my family. He has not disappointed me in the meaning that He's given to my life. You know what I spent the last 23 years doing? What Morpheus is doing in the movie. Giving every ounce of energy I have to save other people from a lie. And that's what my life's about. God turned my life around. I used to be just like everybody else. Kind of just going mindlessly through life. Trying to get the things that everybody else said were really valuable. And then when I get out of school and I started to hitchhike, I went to Colorado. And it was ironic the other night when Chris Farley's show was on, the movie Jeremiah Johnson was on with Robert Redford. Now, you may not know the movie. It's about this mountain man, see? Well, that's what I wanted to be in high school after I got out. I was sick of people. I got to be honest, I was sick of women. I was sick of the trouble they brought in my life. Not that it wasn't my fault, it was. But that's how I viewed it. And I had one desire, to get away from every human being and not see anybody anymore. I went and saw the movie 7 times. So then the other night the movie was on. And as I watched it, I flipped back and forth between both shows. I thought, God, thank you for saving me from being a futile idiot living in the mountains doing nothing with my life. Thank you. Thank you. You didn't give me what I thought I wanted. And then I hitchhiked out there and I realized, man, these people are empty. You know, no matter where you go in the world, you'll find the same thing. People are idiots everywhere. They'll hurt you. They'll use you. They'll take advantage of you. And then the scenery, it may change. It may be hot, cold, warm, or somewhere, you know, in between any of those. And after a while, skiing gets old. Surfing gets old. Women get old. Partying gets old. I remember sitting down with a man about a year ago. He's one of the best looking guys I've ever met personally. 43 years old, drives a Jaguar, makes $700,000 a year, single, lives in a gorgeous house on Lake Harriet. And he started coming to church. He had the coolest clothes I ever saw on anybody. Guy just kind of looked like a movie star. And one day he said, can we go out to lunch sometime? I said, sure. So we went out to lunch. And this guy, great shape. I mean, you know, he just kind of had the flawless life. He starts talking to me. And this full-grown man, tough guy, used to wrestle in school, starts crying. He says, Mark, I want what you have so bad. I want a family so bad. I want the kind of wife you have so bad. I'd give everything I have to have what you have. He said, I spent the last 23 years of my life making the most stupid choices you can imagine. I bought into the lie. I went from one woman to the next. I used them, they used me. And then the relationship's over. And I have nothing to show for my life. And I had the privilege of leading him out of the matrix. His life's turned around. He's beginning to build his life on new principles. He began to understand that his life mattered to God, even though he didn't think it mattered to anybody. God loved him. And God cared about him. And God was willing to forgive him for all that he'd ever done. He could be a new person and start his life over. Just about every kind of person you can imagine I've talked with. God is life, and without God, there is no life. Not real life. We enjoy physical life because of God. We can never find fulfilling inner life without God. Without Christ, your life is one-dimensional, purely physical, like black and white TV all your life. There's never any color to it. There's never any vibrance. It's just mundane and boring and empty. And you may get nicer things and you may get a nicer car, and after a while, nicer one comes along, and you're not so happy anymore. Primary purpose of Jesus' life, I want to close with this. The primary purpose of Jesus' life was to convince you that you mattered to God. It was to convince you that you are significant to God. And you see, what he came to do is deliver you from your meaningless and empty way of life. Do you think, if you know anything about the Bible, maybe you don't. For those of you that don't, Jesus had 12 primary followers. One of them that was a traitor, so we'll go with the other 11. You think Mary ever regretted giving birth to Jesus? You think Mary wished she wouldn't have had to have a baby at what many scholars believe she was 14 or 15 years old? You think she ever regretted the shame that she had to bear during those first months when everybody knew she wasn't married and she was pregnant? You think Peter ever wished he could go back fishing? I don't. I don't wish for anything different than what I have. In fact, I can tell you this, and I mean this. The world has absolutely nothing that I want. Nothing. I'm 43, and I've never even owned a home. I don't care if I ever own a home. It's a roof over your head and a place to stay dry and warm. What makes a home are the people inside of it. And I have that. I only have that because of God. I can tell you right now, and I mean this in just complete honesty, if I did not have Christ in my life, if Christ had not given me life 23 years ago and changed me, I wouldn't have lasted 3 years in marriage. Because I have a terrible temper, I'm extremely selfish, I'm highly critical, I don't forget things, and I got a big mouth, and I like to argue. And I can be very oppressive and very harsh in my personality. The only reason that I've been married now 20 and a half years and been able to maintain my family is because Christ changed my life. He can change yours. You know, isn't it interesting? We have men in this city and women, CEOs of these companies, these big buildings you see downtown, some of them own them. They have great success in the business world. You have these athletes. I was watching some of you may have seen this, last week on Fox NFL. When Terry Bradshaw was interviewing Brett Favre, did anybody see that? Say yes. Okay, thanks. I can talk to four people here. Brett Favre, some of you may know, is a wild party animal. And he got married not too long ago. He married a lady, wonderful lady. He's got a 10-year-old daughter, and then they just had a new baby. Not last week, and the weekend before, after the Packers won the game, I could see it on the sideline. Brett Favre was just crying. I mean, just out of control. And I was thinking to myself, you know, that isn't from an injury. Something's going on. So I was watching Fox NFL, and Terry Bradshaw was saying, he said, you know, JB, I said that to the guy I was announcing with. I hit the guy next to me. I said, something's going on. That's family. And then he said, you know why I knew that? Well, because Brett and I were very close friends, and same thing happened to me. So I said, I wanted to interview Brett. So I went and did the interview. And it's a very moving interview. And Brett was just sharing how he said, you know, I was going back to partying again and going out with the fellas and getting drunk. And finally my wife came to me, and I don't know if his wife knows the Lord or not. I got the impression that she did. But she said to me, you know, Brett, I love you, but I went to see a lawyer today. And it really shook him up. And then the interview ends, and he was talking about how really the football doesn't matter. It doesn't. It's only family that matters. Actually, I want to say all that matters is God and then family, because if you don't have God, you lose your family. And then Terry Bradshaw won the Super Bowl, I think, three times, has his head bent down, and JB's talking. He's bent down, and he's crying. Because just before they went off the air, he said, yeah, I know where Brett's at. At least he has his family. I lost mine. See, Terry Bradshaw lost his family. And I remember when it happened. He lost his family. How many athletes, they can conquer a baseball, but they can't conquer their own life? Do you know why? Because there is no love inside of us without God. No real unconditional love. We're totally self-driven, self-motivated. And you know what? Self is never happy. Haven't you learned that by now? You don't even have to be 18 years old in this room to know. Self is never happy. Never happy. It always wants more. More love, more money, more food, more fun. More. But God, you know what happens with God? When you embrace Christ, He comes in. He changes you. He makes you peaceful. He brings you contentment, the ability to be content. He gives you lasting joy, lasting happiness. The reason God set the whole world into motion is one reason. It's so that He could come after you and I failed, and He could die for us and prove to us He loves us. Now you say, well, why did He do it that way? Because He doesn't want robots. God could have made you a machine. He could have made you an angel. I'd rather be me than an angel. By the way, the angels have nothing compared to you. Christ didn't die for the angels. Christ didn't die for the animals. Christ died for you. Because on this planet, there's only one thing that God wants on the planet. You know what it is? You. It's the only thing that matters to Him. The gold doesn't matter. The food doesn't matter. The resources don't matter. All that matters is you. And when you come to understand that, when you come to understand how much God loves you and how much He wants to give you, you'll embrace Him. I want you to bow your head this evening. Next week, I'm going to share with you whether there's life after death. And I want to encourage you, please come back because you need to know this. This isn't a game to me. I'm not in this business for the money because there isn't money. That's not why I do this. I do this because God loved me. God set me free. God showed me the truth. God gave me meaning and significance. And I want every other person I can possibly share it with to have the same thing. That's the only reason I do this. Christ can change your life. And when you embrace Him and you accept His love and forgiveness, and then you go follow Him, you go follow Him, you will discover a level of meaning and commitment that you've never known. I wish there was a way that I could put you in my pocket and you can come and live with me. But let me just say this, and this is not a brag. This is just the reality of what God has done in my life. Many people in this auditorium have had the, you know, I don't know if I'd call it the privilege, but they've had the opportunity to come and be over my family. Hang out at our house. Every person who's been there and's left has either written me or called back or said on the way out, I never knew they could be a family like this. I cannot believe how loving your family is. Well, I want to give the credit where the credit ought to go. It only goes to God. It's not my doing. It's not my wife's doing. God changed our lives. And I want to tell you something. I really mean this. If any of you got to know my wife and got to know my family, you would want it. And the only reason you'd want it is because it's real. And God can give it to you. He gave it to Jay. He gave it to Chad. He gave it to Greg. He gave it to Josh and Yumi. God can give it to you. But you have to let Him. You have to embrace Him. If you don't have Him, you can't have it. And once you have Him, you follow Him. And then you'll see what God can do for you. Now I want to ask you to do something this evening. You just close your eyes, and I'm going to close in prayer tonight. But what I want you to do, maybe you're ready for this, maybe you're not, is I just want you right where you're sitting, in your own heart, to invite Christ to come into your life. Maybe what I said tonight, you know in your heart, I don't have this meaning. I want meaning. I want peace in my life. I want to know I'm forgiven. I want to know God. I want to know His love in my life. I want Him to forgive my sin. I know I've done a whole lot of things wrong, and I'm tired of the guilt. I want it gone. No one has to explain to me why Chris Farley went to Mass every Saturday night. When you've been drunk half the week, cocaine half the week, and sleeping with whores half the week, you want to go to Mass. Let me tell you a little secret. It isn't Mass that'll give you a clear conscience. It's Jesus Christ. He paid your debt. You do not have to pay it. You don't have to do anything to get it. You just say, Lord, I am what I am. I've sinned. I need you. My life's empty. Come and fill me. I believe that you died for me, that you rose from the dead, that you're God, and I want you in my life. While I'm closing in prayer, you pray that in your own heart. You don't have to pray it out loud, and God can hear you as though you're the only person talking, because He has that capability.